Well, it's a big show. Welcome to the Fade Route. It's a big bad show tonight. With DNZ. Yeah, it's a big show. Here are your hosts. DNZ.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am D. We have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about how the Browns proved us wrong, how the Giants redeemed themselves, and the start of the World Series. We begin today's show discussing how the Jets finally picked up Joe Flacco. They finally caved and listened to us. Zach Wilson got hurt in the first half against the Patriots on Sunday, and Mike White was forced to come on in relief. Jets, coming off of a bye week, went into Foxborough and lost to a team that had only beaten the Texans and the Jets and had only won one game. I had won no games at home all year. Zach Wilson's out for the next 4 weeks with the red-hot Cincinnati Bengals coming on Sunday. Z, what should the Jets do now? It's a loaded question, I guess.
Oh, what should they do? Let's see. Let's first go over their team ranks in the league. 29th in passing yards, 32nd in rushing yards, so dead ass last in rushing, dead ass last in points for, and 29th in points against. So, suffice it to say, this season's over. So, if I'm Joe Douglas, I'm rolling with Mike White, and I'm seeing what I have. I am taking any veteran that could possibly net me a draft pick, and I am dealing them off before the deadline. So if that's Jamison Crowder, if somebody wants Berríos, if somebody wants Mosley, like whoever.
Who didn't play? Who didn't even play.
No, CJ Mosley didn't play.
So highest played player on the defense didn't play.
So something tells me that they're sitting him out so that he's nice and fresh for his new team. So it's possible. But if I'm Joe Douglas, I am floating anybody and everybody that has any modicum of talent, and I am evaluating what I have with these guys. Because I have draft picks like Zuniga, who are on the practice squad, and I don't even know if they can play. And I wasted a third-round draft pick on him. And Joe Flacco, you know, as Joe Flacco is wont to do, he is not reporting until Friday. So, like I texted you during our production meeting today, I'm like, he's not reporting till Friday. It makes you wonder if he'll turn around and just fucking retire. If I was
screw
Joe Flacco,
this.
Exactly. If I'm Joe Flacco and I have any modicum of self-awareness, like, I was fourth on the depth chart in Philly, behind Reed Sinnott, who they just claimed from the Dolphins, and Gardner Minshew. I'm like, if there was an XFL, I got 1 foot in the XFL, and I got 1 foot on a banana peel.
Is it possible he just kind of looked and saw the Bengals coming to town? He's like, oh no. I will not be playing in that game. I am not playing that game.
No, thank you. Considering the fact that last season he did fill in for an injured Sam Darnold and went 0-4. So right. If I'm Joe Douglas, I punt on the season. I evaluate who I have. Marcus May, Vaya Condios, Mosley, anybody that could get me any kind of pick. And I hope to God that Seattle keeps sucking, because then I'll have two picks in the top 10. And I could even possibly package them together and get a friggin' Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I mean, what was the plan, though? Like,
there was no plan.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you purposely ended up in this situation because you didn't pick up a veteran quarterback in camp. So now you're forced to pick up a veteran quarterback now, and it cost you a sixth round pick. Meanwhile, if you just kept Teddy Bridgewater, you wouldn't have had to trade anything, which I keep stressing. Teddy Bridgewater is having a career year for Teddy Bridgewater. Forget about Joe Douglas. Like, if I'm the owner, you can't look back at the last few years and smile or nod or think, hey, we are heading in the right direction. So you just walk around the office, you stop in to every department, every area, and just let them know there's going to be a hard reset next year. Because that's what needs to happen. The culture of the team needs to change. I listened to Robert Saleh in his press conferences, and it's like, either the guy doesn't get it, or he's full of shit. So, that's just not going to do good for me. That's just not going to work for me anymore. I mean, it's a little ridiculous that you had a bye week, you went in to play a division opponent that we haven't beaten in 6 years, and you lose by 35 plus. And it's what? Next man up? And the first reaction on Monday or Tuesday is, you know what we need? We need Joe Flacco. Get Joe Flacco on the phone. Let's get him in here. That's the response?
Let's not forget that this sixth pick could become a fifth round pick if Joe Flacco plays an extended period of time. So it could possibly get worse.
You're telling me that come December 3rd, you're going to trot Zach Wilson back out there when you're, I don't know, 2-9? It just baffles me. Meanwhile, this weekend, you play the Cincinnati Bengals, who are on fire. They're coming out of they just smoked Baltimore in Baltimore. They drafted Joe Burrow with the number one pick last year. And you drafted Zach Wilson with the number two pick this year. Man, if you don't look and see the difference in caliber of player, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know. If you're looking at those two guys and being like, yeah, they're close, come on.
No way.
Come on. This guy, I mean, we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield later, but this guy is not even Baker Mayfield.
Not even close.
He doesn't know what he's doing out there, and it's not his fault. I don't blame – it's not his fault. It's 100% not his fault. And I'm starting to actually feel bad for the guy because I'm starting to think, man, maybe this kid really did have number two overall, number three overall talent, and they're destroying him. He's getting killed out there. The hit he took on the sideline was much worse than the hit he took that knocked him out of the game. It might have been him saying, I have enough. I'm out. I watched the game live. I was like, he don't want no more. No mas. No mas. Nobody's open. I can't get away from anybody. We're already out of this game. I'm out.
But you also have a guy like Denzel Mims on the sideline because he doesn't run precise routes. Dude's fast as fuck. Sometimes speed is what you need.
How about it took two injuries and a blowout to get him in the game?
I don't understand this. They drafted him. Not like he was a holdover. It's not like McCagden drafted him. Joe Douglas drafted this dude. And now you don't like him? What? And LaFleur's little brother doesn't like him?
And if you listen to the press conferences, they're saying, oh, he's close. oh, he's getting better in different areas. Oh, this guy gets to play because this guy plays on special teams. It's like, yo, yo.
So I just want to make sure I got this right. So you're going to stunt this kid's growth because you had to get passes for Breshad Perriman last year, for Rios this year, and Jamison Crowder. So this kid's going to remain a question mark because you are trying to dap up a special teams player.
But not only that, you're 1-5, man. Like, it ain't working.
No. And I hate to speak ill of the dead, but this really did begin with the passing of Greg Knapp. You can't plan for something like that. I understand that, but like, I can see where things would be discombobulated. But you're telling me that Mike LaFleur doesn't have any kind of feel, that he has nothing in his bag to help this kid out. Like, there's the offensive line coach doesn't have anything in his bag of tricks to kind of make it a little bit easier. Like, this seems like a flawed staff at this point. When you're looking big picture, like, what are they doing during practice gets them ready for the game? Especially since they had just had 2 weeks off. Like you said, you had 2 weeks.
What did you do for two weeks? You just stared in the mirror saying, oh, I wish it was this week. I wish it was next week. Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood. Moving on to another former Jets terrible quarterback. The Giants won thanks to a terrible game from Sam Darnold. Can the Giants keep this going, and should the Panthers trade for Deshaun Watson?
We'll start with the Giants first. Good win. A game that neither one of us picked, I believe. I believe we are overrating Carolina at this point. And it is amazing to me how they still have accumulated talent, but without Christian McCaffrey, they're absolute dog shit. And Sam Darnold has been exposed.
Yeah.
Again, he's the guy that we saw with the Jets. And I feel bad. Like, this was supposed to be his fresh start. He was supposed to prove the naysayers wrong. All he did was remind you of who he was. As far as the Giants go, they finally broke out a little bit of creativity. You had a wide receiver pass to Daniel Jones for the first down, looking like Odell Beckham with that catch. Still more injuries. Now, Jabril Peppers is out. Like, Devontae Booker's picking up the slack for Barkley. Slayton was back. Shepard is close, from what I understand. Can they sustain this for 1 week? Yes. Because you're facing a sorry City Chiefs defense. That's the one reason why I can say with a degree of certainty that the New York Giants can sustain this for a little bit longer. Eventually, the cream rises to the top, and they will not rise to the top. They'll clearly be in second or third place, or third or fourth place in the division, depending on whether or not Washington gets its head out of his ass, and if the Eagles just bottom out like it appears like they are. To me, this was really more of an indictment on Sam Darnold, and I don't know. I'm reading reports that there's a deal in place with Miami. As long as Stephen Ross is assured that Deshaun Watson's legal troubles get settled and there's some sort of resolution. But at this point, I don't know. It's 22 allegations. It's been months. Just deactivate this guy. Just do what Major League Baseball did to Trevor Bauer and get this guy out of here. There are other options for the Carolina Panthers if they want to salvage their season. There are definitely Call Denver. See if they want Drew Lock. See if they want to give up Drew Lock. Like, you have opportunities. Tyrod Taylor might be available for Houston. Like, they just dealt off Mark Ingram. Clearly, they're in selling mode. Maybe you can peel off a guy like Tyrod Taylor. Gardner Minshew. He's not doing anything. Like, maybe Philly would be willing to deal him off for, like, a thing. You know, you have other options and, frankly, better options than a guy who might be serving multiple suspensions for conduct off the field that is detrimental to the team. So, and then you're going to drop him mid-season. Now, all of a sudden, he clearly was the Houston locker room had gotten poisoned. Now, drop him into the middle of a Carolina locker room? Yeah. You may poison the well, because now these guys got to talk about him, and they never even met him. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, I guess he's cool. I don't know. I've never met the guy. Like, I don't know. But we're going to keep chugging along. But it's bad right now. And I wouldn't touch Deshaun Watson with a 10-foot pole. And I wish Roger Goodell had the guts to do what Major League Baseball did and just shit-can this guy for the season until everything gets resolved.
Yeah, so first, talk about the Giants. I think they can keep this going. The Chiefs are 3-4. They could lose. They could definitely come to New York and lose on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
They didn't even score a touchdown last weekend against Cincinnati. Against Tennessee. And Tennessee is dead last against the pass. They're dead last against the pass. You have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, and you couldn't even score one touchdown? Panthers? Yeah, I'm going to go with you. They shouldn't trade for Deshaun Watson. They're missing McCaffrey right now. He does change the game. And I know how you feel about him, but when he's on the field, he has to be accounted for. And the fact of the matter is they won 3 games without him. They lost 4 games without him. They won 3 games with him, and they lost 4 games without him. So clearly, he's some kind of difference maker. To just talk about the Deshaun Watson thing just a little bit before we move on, they just need to say what's going on with this guy. Like, what's going on? Why isn't he playing? And why is the NFL investigation not over yet? What are we waiting for? There are no charges against him. What's the problem? Because Houston was actually playing pretty good early in the season. If they just had a more competent quarterback, they might have won some of their games. It's not fair to the people. It's not fair to the fans. It's not very fair to the other players in that locker room. So they really just need to resolve the issue. And yeah, if you want to pull a Trevor Bauer, you can go ahead and do that. But, you know,
yeah.
These things, he hasn't stood trial for anything. The charges are just charges right now. So
litigation is not scheduled to take place until February. So you're looking at Super Bowl. But the fact that, like, they have an ongoing investigation, it leads me to believe that the league is going to move closer to deactivating him, just from the simple fact that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, because now you're actually going to go into deposition. This is all going to be made public. It's all going to be laid bare, and we're going to find out what kind of person. We know in the court of public opinion, but we're going to find out in detail, in graphic detail, what kind of person Deshaun Watson is. And it's going to be an ugly look for the league in a time when you already have the John Gruden situation. You have this Washington football team situation that they're sweeping this under the rug. Like, they're trying to cover
this up. They're
trying
to.
They're trying
real hard.
They're trying real fucking hard. And they gotta, in their heart of hearts, they really need to be considering, just for a second on the Daniel Snyder thing, they really gotta consider Donald Sterling him. They really gotta consider Donald Sterling this guy. Because it's been nothing but trouble since he took over the team. And then to couple all of that with the Deshaun Watson situation, which occurred before all of this. There's several body blows that the NFL is absorbing, and in terms of public perception, they can't absorb much more. So the best thing they could do is to just wash their hands of him until the legal process takes place and all the settlements take place, or if criminal charges eventually, like there are some criminal charges, if anything comes to fruition, like just the best thing you can do is just say we're not going to stand for this and we'll be done with it.
You can find The Fade Route on Facebook now. Check out our Facebook page, The Fade Route with DNZ. It's a one-stop shop for everything we do. Content, link to The Fade Store, all of our episodes, you name it, it is there. The Fade Route with DNZ on Facebook.
In other news, Tom Brady keeps on rolling. Wins again, moves his team to 6-1, and in the midst of that, threw his 600th touchdown pass. And then Mike Evans proceeded to give the ball to a random fan in the stands.
Bullshit.
Now, when the fan was approached, he gave the ball up without asking for anything. He said, if Tom wants the ball, here's the ball. Didn't even really think twice about it. And then after he gave the ball, he started thinking about it, and he wanted some stuff, but the team was nice enough to give him a nice hull. He got 2 signed jerseys from Tom, along with the helmet, signed Mike Evans jersey and game cleats, $1,000 credit to the team store, 2 season passes for the remainder of this season as well as next season, and a crypto and a Bitcoin from Tom Brady, valued at about $60,000. So I ask you, if you had that piece of history in your possession, what would they have to do to get it from you?
Well, let's first address the gentleman, Byron Kennedy, by name, Byron Booby. You cannot let go of that ball. You gotta hold on to it with, like, death grip. You gotta put, like, super glue on your fucking hands, and they cannot pry it from your hand. You have leverage at that moment. It's like Jeter with his 3,000 hit, and it was a home run. The gentleman caught the ball. He caught all that leverage. Roger Maris's 61st home run caught that ball. He had all the leverage. A-Rod's 3,000 hit, also a home run, caught the ball, had all the leverage, had all the bargaining power. Once you relinquish control of that ball, you've pretty much given all of your leverage away. And at this point, it just becomes a nice gesture by the Buccaneers. That being said, the appraisal value of this ball is somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000. I'm not a greedy man. Like, I would happily take a little cash. A donation to a charity would be nice. Like, maybe a meet and greet with Tom Brady. Nothing crazy. That's just me. Like, I'm not a greedy person. I'm listening to other people. I'm listening to FAN. They're calling in. Like, I'm looking to set up my kids' college funds. Like, no. Like, you know, first of all, this ball shouldn't belong to Tom Brady, in my opinion.
Really?
He's the in my opinion, it goes straight to Canton and is locked in the Hall of Fame. He is the only person to ever have 600 touchdown passes. So he's the first and only. Like, that ball is NFL history, not just Tom Brady history. Now, if I want to start a bidding war between the NFL and Tom Brady, now that's something that could be interesting, depending on how much Tom Brady values his own memorabilia. But, you know, like, some cash, maybe a check, a meet and greet, But that's where I am. Like, don't give me the memorabilia. I'm not a memorabilia guy. Like, you know me. Like, I don't have a lot of memorabilia, and it doesn't do anything for me. I'll take the cash equivalent of all that stuff.
Yeah, and when I first saw it happen, I thought to myself, okay, yeah, I'm like you. I don't need the memorabilia. I'm more about experiences. I'm not giving you the ball. I want to meet Tom. So I have to bring me to a secure place to watch the rest of this game. And then I want to meet him. And then we can talk about the terms of how I will give this up. But then, you know, I started thinking about it a little bit more. And it's just like, does the ball really belong to me? You know, that's the thing I kind of got stuck on. It's like, oh, I gave this to you, but you know what? I shouldn't have given it to you. This was an accident. Can I have it back? It's not like this was a home run ball. And, you know, the other thing I thought about, like, oh, if I caught someone's first home run or if I caught someone's first hit, you know, things like that. It's just like, yeah, I think I'd give them back without asking for anything. This was a piece of history, which kind of gets me like, I do want something, but the other part of me says, you know what, I probably should just give it back, especially since it was given by accident to me, like it wasn't purposely given to me, they didn't realize it, this was like an oh shit situation, so that's where I get stuck. However, I do think I think what he was given, considering he gave the ball up for and asked for nothing, what they gave him was very nice. Very nice. It was the least they could do. But you would think that a local business would hop on board of this. This is a perfect opportunity to, like, get free advertising and say, hey, man, he was so nice to give back the ball. We're going to let him eat free here for the next year. Or, you know, Walmart comes in and goes, oh, you know what? We're going to give you a $300 gift. Because when you think about it, like you said, the ball is valued at about $500,000. And he just gave that up. I mean, you talk to some people and they would have been like on the phone with JSA to authenticate the ball. And Tom, I'll see you at auction. like that's how some people would be with this thing, especially since he wanted it. Like, there's a lot of things, and he even said in the press conference, he doesn't really care for this kind of stuff, but he wanted this ball. He wanted the 600th ball. So,
now, where do you stand on this? Is possession with Tom Brady, or is it possession with the NFL, since he is the only person to have ever done this, and it would be such a gem in the Hall of Fame? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, so I stand actually after thinking about it a lot. In the beginning, I really was all about, yeah, I'm the fan. You fucked up. The ball is mine. Payday. That's how I really was in the beginning. But then I thought about it. To me, it's actually the team's ball. I think it's the Bucks' ball. And it's the Bucks to decide if they're going to give it to Tom, if they're going to give it to Canton. I think it belongs to the Bucks. Football's different. It's not like baseball where there's foul balls and there's home runs and things like that. Like, you know, this wasn't given on purpose. This was given by accident. It's like if somebody dropped $1,000 on the floor in front of you and you picked it up and they ran back and said, hey, that's my $1,000, you're not going to put it in your pocket and say, sorry, oh well, oops. No, you're gonna give them back that money. So that's where I stand with it. I think it's a piece of history. I'm okay with Tom keeping it if he wants to keep it because he did it. I would be upset if he tried to spin it into an auction item, maybe for like one of his charities. I might try and turn a frown eye to that, because that $500,000 ball, we know it's gonna turn into a $1 million ball someday, right?
True.
It's gonna go up. It's gonna go up. So I think a great deal of gratitude needs to be given to Byron, because he's a genuine person, and you know, it was and the thing about it is, I think you also get stuck in the moment. Like, you get the ball, he probably didn't realize it at first, and then they came over and said Tom wants the ball, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, here's the ball back. Like, he didn't really think about the ramifications of him, like, oh, Because even they had him online. He's like, man, I would have liked to go a round of golf with Tom. I'm sure Tom would have did that, right? I mean,
not so, totally.
So but, I think I'd like to see the local businesses get involved and do a little bit more for Byron. He got a great haul. $1,000 in the team store is like whatever, but I mean the jersey, the cleats, the helmet, the season tickets is big, and he got a Bitcoin, which is valued at about $60,000, and it lets him decide what he wants to do with it. If I want to keep it and see where it goes, or I can cash it in and get taxed like crazy.
No, for sure. But then you also have to take into account that clearly this was a revised offer, because the first offer was just booed out of the building by everybody. The initial offer was just $1,000 to the team store.
I didn't
know that. An autographed jersey, not necessarily Tom Brady's.
Oh, jeez.
And a game-used ball.
Oh, man, that's dirty. That's dirty. I didn't know that part of the story. That's dirty. I did know he gave it up without asking for anything, and then he kind of recanted and was like, you know, kind of wanted something. I didn't know that that's what they came to him with first. It's like, geez. But I definitely would want to meet him. I don't know if, yeah, I mean, we got to at least have a 10-minute conversation. Like, I don't care, but. Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you. Moving on, in case you missed it, the Braves are in the World Series. They beat Walker Buehler and the Dodgers in Game 6, as you predicted. Will the Astros' victory in the World, if the Astros were to win the World Series, if they were to beat the Braves, would it exonerate them from the cheating scandal of a few years ago?
In short, no. If it was the exact same team, maybe. But who is actually left from that team? You have Correa, Bregman, Altuve. It really, okay, those are the three main cogs, but that's it. That's all. Mike Fiers is gone. Justin Verlander's, like, all these guys, that they're all gone. So
you're penalizing people that weren't even on the team at the time.
You're penalizing Dusty Baker in the court of public opinion for something that AJ Hinch did and Jeff Luhnow did, and they have also paid for it with their jobs, and in AJ Hinch's case, a year suspension. So it doesn't exonerate them, but if these guys are able to pull it out, it definitely is going to restore a little bit of the shine, put a little bit more of the faith on their talent, because the team is immensely talented, and they probably didn't need to cheat. Probably. But, you know, the 1919 Black Sox didn't need to do what they needed to do, but they did what they did.
They wanted to get paid.
They wanted to get paid, absolutely. So it doesn't exonerate them, but it shows that this team is actually immensely talented, because they still have been to 3 World Series in 5 years.
Right.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think it will, but I do think it should. I know you mentioned that a lot of the players are gone, but a lot of the key players are still there. Bradley, Bregman, Altuve, Verlander, those guys. I know Verlander's on the team, but he's out this year. You know, it's tough. It's tough. it's tough because, like you said, 3 World Series, 5 years, definitely really good team. Do you think the cheating scandal will keep some of these guys out of the Hall of Fame if they were ever to be up for election?
That's a good question. I don't think so. If the guardians of the game keep doing what they're doing with performance enhancing drugs, it may keep them out onto like a player's ballot situation. But from what I've seen and the trend that we've seen in Hall of Fame voting, the younger sports writers, they don't seem to be too bothered by performance enhancing drugs or cheating or sign stealing or any of these things. So I think that eventually they will get in, maybe not first ballot, but I think they will eventually get into the Hall of Fame if they are merited. So only time will tell, because who's to say that these guys have long and fruitful careers? I mean, Carlos Correa is 29 years old. He already has a back injury, so he could turn around and be Don Mattingly tomorrow. So they still have to finish their careers. If they pass muster, they'll get in. They'll definitely get in eventually.
I'm a Braves fan, but even watching this game, like I don't really look at them as the cheaters. And if they were to win, I'd be happy for Dusty Baker. I'd be sad my team lost, but I'd be happy for Dusty Baker. And they did it, but I don't know how much they actually really needed it, truthfully. And I also don't know how much it really changed the outcome of the game, because their pitching was lights out in the postseason. You know, it wasn't just them hitting. They won games 2-1, 1-0. Like, it wasn't all hitting. Their pitching was outstanding.
Yeah. If you juxtapose that team with this team, what we're watching now, their pitching is dreadful.
Right.
It is amazing how terrible the Astros pitching is right now. And now the Braves pitching just got dealt a blow with the Charlie Morton injury. I mean, tough guy for pitching with a fractured fibula.
He struck 2 people out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including Altuve.
But, you know, kudos to him, but this definitely deals the Braves a blow. And as a Braves fan, like, how do you come back from something like that? Max Fried's already out of this game. He's not looking so hot. And then you have the inning. And, like, you were really counting on Morton to be your inning guy. And what do you got, bullpen games the rest of the series?
Pretty much, Fried on short rest. Well, it should be interesting. What do you think the Astros need to do to win the World Series? How do you think they could beat the Braves? What do they have to do to beat the Braves?
Jump on them early and don't let them up. Like, this is going to be an offensive series. It's definitely the pitching and the way it's been going and the way that Dusty Baker and Brian Snitker have been using their bullpens. The runs are going to come early and they're going to come often. So it's whoever scores that last run. You have Altuve, you have Brantley, you have Bregman, you have Yordan Alvarez. You have so many sticks in this lineup that you can definitely hang with the Braves. You just got to make sure that you demoralize them early. And as far as like an X factor, for me, I'm looking at Yuli Gurriel. I want to see him really break if I'm the Astros, because you expect the other guys to do it. Gurriel, like, he's kind of like the unsung guy. I definitely think that he should have he'll have a breakout series. And even Kyle Tucker. Like, I've seen Kyle Tucker, he makes solid contact, and he's a pretty decent outfielder too. So, you know, I definitely think that those are going to be my picks to click and the guys to watch. As far as the Braves go, like, Jorge Soler, like, he was sorely missed when he was out with COVID. Now that he's here, hits the 3rd pitch of the game out for a home run yesterday. First time it's ever been done in Major League history. He's definitely going to be the guy to watch in this lineup for the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I kind of agree with you. I think it's if the Astros are going to win here, they got to outscore them, pound the baseball, get to their bullpen. Will Smith is trash, and I love the Braves, but he's a trash closer. He's not really that great.
He's a Mark Wohlers, that's for damn sure.
And then for the Braves to win, I think it really falls on Austin Riley. He needs to stand out. He needs to be the MVP. Pitching needs to keep the Astros under 4 runs. Not doing such a good job right now, but that's where that series needs to be.
If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
Moving on, the Browns proved us wrong. And they won with Case Keenum. We laughed at them and said there was no way they were going to win on Thursday night against the Broncos. What did the win do for Case Keenum's future and Baker Mayfield's future?
Well, considering the fact that Baker Mayfield was already lobbying to try and get back into the game on Sunday against the Steelers, it probably didn't do that much for Case Keenum's future, but this is kind of who Case Keenum is. He'll get you a win. You can do worse, but you can do a lot better. He's definitely a middle-of-the-pack, good, solid backup quarterback, and lots of teams would love to have a guy as well-traveled as Case Keenum, who has experience that he can kind of impart onto a rookie quarterback. Yes, but
yeah,
as far as what he
very
is,
good point
he,
there.
He is who he is. Who he is. He'll get you a couple, but he'll also cost you a couple.
I say let him start until Baker's healthy. He proved that he's an adequate starter in the league, contrary to what Mike Zimmer thinks. But I like him, and their offense looks a lot different without him. And the fact that he with him, and with the fact that he was able to win with a large part of the team out is super impressive. We both had them dead in the water, and they beat not a great Broncos team, but a good Broncos team. Broncos are kind of falling right now, but they are a good team.
No, they are. They're a representative team. They started their offensive players. They had everybody. And Case Keenum's cupboard wasn't as bare as we thought it was going to be. Landry played. Beckham played. I don't know where Mr. Johnson, Dearness, came from, but that was an impressive. How impressive is the Cleveland Browns running back room? To where that guy is the third string. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Like, that was quite impressive. But if you're looking at say that you're going to have Case Keenum start until the bye week. Pittsburgh at Cincy, at New England, versus the Lions at Baltimore. What are you happy with if you are Kevin Stefanski? How many wins are you content with?
Two. Really? Until I'm healthy? Absolutely. I need to get to Thanksgiving with a healthy team. We talked about it a lot last week, where that's the goal. It's like I wanna get to the Lions game with a healthy team, face Baltimore, and then go on my bye, and then okay guys, we need to win out. That's where I wanna be. Forget about the next month or so. There's too many people hurt. You know, Chubb can't even get in a full practice, man. He's practicing limited right now. Yeah. And Hunt's out. But these other two guys are good, but you know, there's a reason why they're not starting, you know?
Yeah.
That stuff comes to light eventually.
No, it definitely does. And in this schedule, like, I need three. Honestly, New England's not that good. Detroit is not that good. And Pittsburgh isn't that good. These are all games that I should win, in my opinion. Even depleted, I have a better team than those three teams currently. So that's my mindset. Two is fine. I would definitely like to have three because Cincinnati is not losing anytime soon. Like, they are the real deal. And I can't believe I'm saying that based on what we saw from Cincinnati in years past. But they definitely look like they are the real deal. Baltimore's not going away. Pittsburgh, they're a little long in the tooth. And now you have Mike Tomlin fending off rumors that he's going to USC because Carson Palmer's an idiot. So, you know, they're in complete disarray. I just got to make sure, you know, like they say, if I'm being chased by a bear, I don't have to outrun the bear. I have to outrun you. So, if I'm the Browns, I just have to outrun the Steelers. And I still got a shot. Because the Steelers right now, in my opinion, they are the dregs of this division.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, that's how it works. We have a phrase. It's either more likely to happen or less likely to happen. Let's see how we do. More or less, Cam Newton catches on with the team before Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I'm going to go less likely. It seems like Carolina has pulled out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, but Miami still seems to be in it. And you got to think, if something were to happen to, like, Kyler Murray or Josh Allen, if any of those top guys are going to go down, you got to think that they would make a hard push for Watson just because they're so close to really, being a championship team. Cam seems to be done, as terrible as it sounds. I just don't think he's going to catch on with anybody this year.
I'm going to go more likely just from the simple fact that... But here's why. Hear me out. Just the sheer number of allegations against Deshaun Watson would make him nuclear in most situations. Now, in other situations, it's going to be the fact that he hasn't been active. We're almost halfway through the season, and he has not yet been active, and he hasn't taken a hit. He hasn't done any of these things. We don't know what he's doing in practice, or if they're even letting him practice. They're staying around the team, but then they're not dressing him. So say what's going on. Cam Newton was at least in a training camp. Cam Newton at least was practicing. So if you get Cam Newton in early enough, like, Arizona, I think, would be perfect for him. Cleveland would be perfect for him because he doesn't have to be the guy.
You got to think that the longer, just to bring up Watson again, the longer this goes on, the more you kind of think, man, this must be true, right?
Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire, man. And the longer they wait, the longer they're investigating. It adds weight. It adds credibility.
It's just wild. It's wild. Yeah. It really is wild.
It absolutely is. And this is what is. This is why it's incumbent upon them to shit or get off the pot. Like, either deactivate this guy or just let him on the field. Because, I mean, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to put him out there and suffer the media backlash, particularly since it's unresolved. And like you said, the longer this goes, the more likely it is that it's true, because you know they're investigating and they're digging up stuff that we haven't even heard yet. Stuff that's going to make John Gruden blush. So it is going to be salacious as hell when it all comes out. And most organizations would easily label that a distraction. So I would take Cam's wacky outfit over whatever Deshaun Watson is at this point, and whatever, you know, whatever will come of it. I just wouldn't touch it if I was an NFL executive. More or less likely, Matthew Stafford feels bad for Jared Goff.
Now, we ask this since Matt Stafford is 5-1 with Jared Goff's team, and Jared Goff has yet to win a game with Matt's old team, the Lions. And they met on Sunday in a bludgeoning. I don't think he feels bad at all. I actually think he feels relieved. I haven't seen Matt Stafford smile this much since like his second year in the league. He seems so happy and so free to be playing with talented players. So yeah, I think it's less likely that Matt Stafford feels bad for Jared Goff.
There's no doubt in my mind that Matthew Stafford doesn't give a shit about Jared Goff right now. He's like, better you than me, bro. Better you than me. But if you look at Jared Goff's numbers, right? The guy that Sean McVay couldn't wait to get out of town. The guy that Jeff Fisher didn't want to start. Instead, he brought Case Keenum in. And Case Keenum was starting for that team over Jared Goff. It's not, the numbers aren't terrible despite being 0-7. I mean, the touchdown to interception ratio isn't great. 8 touchdowns, 6 picks, but 1,773 yards, 66% completion, representative. It's a representative season. He just needs better weapons around him. The Lions are close. Like, the Lions are very, very close. And it's only a matter of time before they get that first win. Matthew Stafford went from the outhouse to the penthouse. It's just, let's call it what it is. But 19 touchdowns, 4 picks, but you're throwing to Robert Woods, you're throwing to Cooper Kupp. You have a cupboard, you have a stable of weapons that you could only dream of in Detroit. Like, you actually have that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how everybody was quick to make fun of Jeff Fisher after the Rams got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but now, you know, Jared Goff's in another space, and you know, Sean McVay, like you said, really was itching to get rid of him, which is crazy. Yeah, I mean, we have to see what happens. The thing is with Matt Stafford is I haven't seen anything that I hadn't seen before.
No.
To put it nicely, like I saw this in Detroit. I saw this. And in Detroit, it was just that they gave up more points than Matthew Stafford could put up, right? It wasn't. So I'm not seeing anything different from him. I think he's the same guy. He never was a big interception or a turnover guy. He got hurt a lot, but.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's definitely. He is who he is. And the one thing he does better than Jared Goff is deliver the deep ball. That's the one
thing that's huge. Yeah.
I mean, he's turning Jefferson into, you know, a top three receiver. Like, he is making that guy's career right now, because Jared Goff, no way in hell is he delivering these passes to Jefferson for these touchdowns. more or less likely LaMelo Ball wins the MVP over Luka and the rest of the NBA?
Oh, man, I like this one. I think it's more likely. I'm all in on him this year. I think he gets the Hornets to the playoffs. Right now he's averaging 23-6. Hornets are 3-1, just like the Knicks and Milwaukee and the Heat. I mean, it's early. But I think he's in for a big year. He's super talented. It turns out that the Ball brothers can play. Lonzo really's turned around his game, too. He's shooting over 40% from the field now. And he's shooting a respectable 38% from three. It's very impressive. Very impressive. I think I got LaMelo. More likely.
I'm going to go less likely just for the simple fact that there's a lot of people. Like, he cherry-picked LaMelo and Luka. But there are so many players. And it's such a long season. That, yes, LaMelo Ball is having a great start to the year. 22.8 points per game. 6.8 assists. Shooting almost 50% from the field goal. You're looking at, you know, shooting 50% from three. But he's having, it's a great start, and Charlotte is having a great start. But if you look at Luka, you're looking at 23, almost 24 a game, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, almost 9 assists per game. It's definitely, you know, he's going to have some competition. And that's not taking into account guys like Jokic, the reigning MVP, Giannis, Donovan Mitchell. There's so many players. I mean, Devin Booker. Like, you have so many players that you discount if you don't take the field. So there are too many great choices. As of right now, these are very fine. But there's too many great players. And there's one gentleman that we have not mentioned that you can never count out. And that is one LeBron MF James. Right. You know as well as I do that LeBron can win this award whenever he feels like it. If he wants to set up Russ and let Russ do his thing, then by God, he's going to do it. Or if he's going to say, that's okay, little homie, I got this, and he'll become the point forward, he'll do that too. So, yeah, I hesitate to take anybody over LeBron James, regardless of age. But it's right now, lots of stacked superstars, lots of talent out there to choose from.
Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, it is now time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. We are dropping the ass. We are giving the ass out again this week. You know it. You love it. And do you know who won last week, Dick?
Oh, I know this. No, I don't remember.
it is Mr. Vaccine Card Fraud himself, Evander Kane, took it home. Mr. Double Secret Probation, Evander Kane, you won the ass for last week. Who's going to win the ass for this week? Well, we're going to drop the poll as soon as we're done with this show. Go to our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ. Vote early, vote often, and you can help us determine who wins the Alleged Superstar of the Week award. So, D, who are your nominees for the week?
Oh, man, I got all quarterbacks this week. Okay. First, Alleged Superstar of the Week, Patrick Mahomes, Mr. $300 million himself, 20 for 35, 206 yards, one interception, and a 27-3 loss in Tennessee. Yikes. Alleged next great quarterback? I think not. Mr. Mahomes, you are the alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Taylor Heinicke scores a touchdown in Lambeau Field. Does the Lambeau leap and up? The touchdown was called back. Taylor Heinicke, what are you doing, man? Just focus on trying to beat the Packers. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And my third is my last quarterback, Sam Darnold. After I praised you the week before for playing solid against the Vikings and I blamed your receivers for nobody catching the ball, you go 16 for 25 for 112 yards and an interception. You get benched for PJ Walker, who goes 3 for 14 and 33 yards. Good Lord, you were so bad that they wanted to trade you to get a guy that can't even play right now. Gosh, you started off 3-0. We were slurping you and your team. You've lost four straight. Sam, I'm sorry, buddy. You are my alleged superstar of the week. How about you, Z?
All very valid choices. I went baseball heavy for this one, but I'm looking at you, Mookie Betts, closeout game. 0-4. What are you doing? 174 in the NLCS against a team that is not very pitching rich. You, Mookie Betts, are my alleged superstar of the week. Walker Buehler, number two, runs, seven hits. Granted, on short rest because Max Scherzer couldn't go. But still, don't take the ball if you can't get the job done. Four runs, seven hits in a losing effort. Walker Buehler, you are my 11th star of the week. Transitioning quickly to football, Justin Fields, 23-32, 184, three picks, two fumbles, one fumble lost, 35-3. Jesus Christ. Justin Fields, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, this one is breaking. The Cleveland Indians, for getting sued by a roller derby team over the use of your new name that you have not even taken yet, and then trying to lowball them on the offer to buy the name off of them. You, Cleveland Indians, are my alleged superstar of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made our case. It is time for you to make yours. Go to the Twitter poll at FadeRouteDNZ. Vote early, vote often, and for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to teespring.com, type The Fade Store into the search bar, and have access to our sweatshirts, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, tank tops, and much more on the way. That's teespring.com. Type in The Fade Store at the search bar and show your boys some love. Rep the Fade Route brand only at The Fade Store, only on teespring.com. Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week.
for the option, ladies and gentlemen. How'd you do last week, brother?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me count up my wins. I don't think I did very good. Let's see. I got 9 wins last week.
Not too shabby. That's a solid week. Above.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I got 9-4. Yeah, that was pretty good.
9-4 is a solid week, man. Absolutely.
Big one was I took the Bengals over the Ravens. That was a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? For me, it was the Titans game. Like, that was the one that took me over the top. I went 11-2 last week.
Ooh.
Holy shit. But the games that I lost, were, of course, the Broncos and Browns, you know. I missed that one. We missed that one big time. But a new week, clean slate, and let's do. Teams on the bye this week, the Ravens and the Raiders. But starting tomorrow night, possibly the game of the week already, 6-1 Packers at the undefeated 7-0 Cardinals. Who you got?
Yeah, I have to go with the Cards here just because the Packers are battling COVID. No Davante Adams and no Alan Lazard. That's what it looks like right now. So I'm going to take the Cardinals.
This is a tough one because Aaron Rodgers, his record is better. He's undefeated when Davante Adams isn't on the field. And Vance Joseph was kind of poking the bear a little bit in his presser saying that maybe he tries to force Davante some balls. But on the other side, you also have J.J. Watt not going to be there. I believe it's a shoulder injury, but
he's of no consequence. That guy, let me just tell you, that guy was making fun of everybody. He was saying everyone's making excuses for why the Cardinals are 6-0. It's like, dude, you played on the Texans and you asked to be traded. Shut up. Just get down there and play. You cannot talk at all. You bandwagoned onto this team. I don't want to hear you. Just go play football, dude. You're not your brother. Your brother's a better player than you. I think TJ's a better player than him.
At this point in his career, TJ is a better player than him. Absolutely. I'm going with the Cardinals as well because they're healthier and they're a more complete team than the Packers are. Sunday, a Halloween affair. Maybe you dress up. Maybe you don't dress up. Maybe the Jets will. Bengals at Jets. Are they going to dress up as the winning team for Halloween?
This is going to be 31-0 Bengals. Giving you the score too.
So I'm going to take the Bengals as well. Over or under 4 picks for Mr. White in his starting
under
debut.
Under, but he'll have 3 picks and a fumble lost. Ah,
solid. We
fumbles
call that Justin
get
Fields.
You.
We call it a Justin Fields.
He'll have a Justin Fields kind of day.
Titans at Colts.
That's a good game. I'm actually going to take the. I'm going to take the Colts in this one. Colts played a really damn good game against the 49ers in San Francisco. Learned a lot about the Colts last week.
We did. We definitely did. And I was very surprised with it as well, considering the fact that it was in such inclement weather that you would think that it would negatively affect the Colts. But both teams, I mean, they put up a combined 48 points. That's pretty impressive considering the conditions. I'm going to take the Titans. They're rolling right now. And until somebody can stop Derrick Henry, I just can't roll with anybody else right now. Rams at Texans.
Yeah. Tyrod might come back, but I'm taking the Rams.
I'm taking the Rams as well. It's not going to be close. Wolford will probably play the fourth quarter. The Texans are probably going to just start peeling off some of their players as the deadline approaches. Rams in a rout. Steelers at Browns.
I'm going to take the Browns. I believe in Keenum, especially if Keenum plays. I believe in them. And Chubb should be back. You know, Ben's mediocre. 7-4. 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Yep, I'm sticking with it. Browns.
I'm going with the Browns as well. The Steelers haven't showed me anything this year that indicates that they're trending in the right direction. this is a year of transition, and it wouldn't surprise me if they are looking at a quarterback next year in the draft. Eagles at Lions.
You know what? I think the Lions get a win. I don't really believe in the Eagles. They rack up their points in the second half of games. Lions got to win at some point.
Dan Campbell has this team playing for him. They're 0-7, but they could easily be 3-4. Very easily. I'm going to take the Lions as well, and they're going to beat up the Eagles. Not just beat them, beat them up. Going to make Nick Sirianni wish he was still a coordinator in Indianapolis. Niners at Bears.
Word on the street is Nagy's got COVID, which is very tempted for me to pick the Bears. But
so you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm gonna go with the other team though.
Niners is the smart pick. Mitchell was running the ball very well. Jimmy G can't have a worse game than he had last weekend, and a lot of that can be explained away by the inclement weather. Justin Fields is not ready for prime time. Niners. Niners, Niners, Niners. Panthers at Falcons.
Panthers at Falcons. Man, I'm going with the Falcons. They seem to be having their shit together. They're playing decent ball. Matt Ryan's playing well. Yep. Keep going.
Kyle Pitts is going to torch these guys. They're getting Calvin Ridley back. Offensively, they're fine. The question is about the defense, and they're facing Sam Darnold. Need I say more? The Falcons are going to win this one pretty easily. Dolphins at Bills.
AFC East matchup, taking the Bills off after their bye. They'll play good.
The Dolphins are going nowhere fast. They're mired in this Deshaun Watson rumor mill. Now you got Tua. It's like, I don't not feel wanted, which is a huge double negative. So, clearly it's in his mind. The Bills are pretty handily going to take this one. We're into the 4 o'clock slate. Pats at Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. Yeah, I think I'd feel better. I'd feel differently if the game was being played in Foxborough, but I'm pretty sure it's being played in L.A., so yeah, I'll take the Chargers.
Patch on the road.
Chargers out of a bye, also. You know.
For sure. I'm going to take the Chargers as well. They're a more well-rounded team. The Pats, they're going to play well. There are some things that you can take away from last week's beatdown of the Jets, but it's not going to be as severe, but it's going to be a closer game than people are thinking, and I think the Chargers will be there at the end. Jags at Seahawks.
I think the Jaguars are going to win. I just don't like this. I don't like the Seahawks, the way they've been playing. Geno's not bad. They need Russell Wilson, and Chris Carson's out. He's always hurt. So, yeah, I'm going with the Jags.
Man, we are hitting on the same upset specials this week. It's very interesting to me. I'm taking the Jags as well. I saw some good things, you know, that they're building towards this. Geno has been good. Like,
Another former Jets quarterback.
True. I mean, the thing about Geno Smith is that clearly he wasn't ready for the role when he was given the role, mostly because Rex Ryan's an idiot and played Mark Sanchez in the third quarter of a fucking meaningless preseason game. Oh, it's the Diet Coke. It's Diet Coke for a reason. It cost Mark Sanchez his starting job. But I've seen the maturation process of Geno Smith when he was with the Giants, when he was the Chargers. Now he's with the Seahawks. He looks better at every single stop. And you can see he's more mature, has a better grasp of what he's doing. That being said, like, it's not enough. He needs more around him, and the Jags are set up to pick them all. Washington football team at the Broncos.
This is a tough one for me. I had a tough time picking this one. But I think... I go back on this. I'm going with the Washington football team. They played the Packers pretty well. They had two touchdowns taken away from them.
Well, I mean, their defense is a little overrated. It's a little bit exposed right now. So, I mean, maybe they'll get it right. Heinicke's playing, man. Like, you can't say enough about the job that Taylor Heinicke's done for the Washington football team. I think the Broncos' defense is a little bit better, and Teddy Bridgewater's not going to force anything. Broncos get to 500 this week. Bucks, it's Saints.
Yeah, it's easy. Bucks, they're rolling now.
Bucks are rolling. Their secondary's still banged up, but the Saints aren't going to be able to challenge them. So, Alvin Kamara will get his. I don't think anybody else will. Bucks are going to win this one pretty easily. Sunday night. Cowboys at Vikings.
The boys, even though Dak is questionable to play, his foot's still not healed. So, but I'm still going to go with the Cowboys.
That's a tricky one. It's definitely a tricky one for sure, but as long as Zeke and Pollard are healthy, I'm going to roll with the Cowboys. The Vikings are better than we thought. They're definitely better than we thought, but Cowboys should take this one with Dak or not. And our Monday night delight, the Giants at the Chiefs.
Oh, I was actually close to picking the Giants, but I just think the Chiefs are going to have a chip on their shoulder this week, and it's going to lead to a victory, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Giants. I hope
man,
I'm right
that would
about
be
this.
Amazing.
That would be a fantastic win.
Amazing.
To go into Arrowhead and take on the Chiefs and beat them.
Oh, that's right. It is in Kansas City. You're right. It's in Kansas City. I thought it was in New York for some reason.
Yeah. Well, it's tough sledding either way, but
yeah.
The Giants, you know what? They could pull it off. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
Absolutely can, and the MVP of this team is going to be Graham Gano. So Gano is going to at least have, I'm calling, 15 fantasy points.
So you're saying I should pick him up. So I need to pick him up.
Dude, if you're looking for a fantasy kicker, Graham Gano is your guy.
I am. I'm in the market.
There you go. Graham Gano is a great way to go. But here's the real question. For Monday night, you're watching the Manning Brothers, or are you watching...
Oh, Manning Brothers all the way. Hilarious. I'm becoming a bigger fan of Eli Manning every single time I watch it. He is hilarious.
I find Peyton Manning insufferable on the show.
Like Joe Buck insufferable, or...
It's like he doesn't know when to shut up.
Tim McCarver insufferable. Which one?
Oh, no. Oh, neither. Joe Buck is all a preening schmo. Tim McCarver thought he was the smartest guy in the room. Peyton Manning just needs an edit. He just needs a filter. He just needs to know when to shut up. Eli Manning is very good. Like,
I love him. Love it.
He's throwing up the double bird. He's doing the,
that was so great.
But it was rough. In the beginning of the year, it's rough. I think they're settling into it. And Eli Manning is the MVP, man. He is the MVP of this.
I love it. Okay. This has been The Fade Route with D and Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast Wednesday nights on the Anchor, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week.
If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG, FadeRouteMail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us in crowd.